What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 382 of the Pierce for Blackcast. I'm JCM with this week is Izzy.
Yo.
And Masai.
Hello.
And we have quite a bit of stuff to go over. No new releases, but the game deals are still in the store. We talked about it last week that they're going for like most of October, like the 50% off sale, the huge deals, bunch of stuff. But then there's like a deal of the week going on right now that lasts until the 14th for Assassin's Creed Odyssey is $15 to buy the base game. And then you can get, of course, the gold edition, which is also, I believe, it's that one's 80% off. So the other one was 75%. So you can get the gold edition for $20. So that's, of course, Assassin's Creed, the season pass, Assassin's Creed 3 Remastered, if you wanted to play that. And then, so if you haven't caught up, and before you get into the next game before it comes out, you can. I mean, that's a lot to play before the next AC comes out in November. But you got plenty of time in October if you just played nothing but Assassin's Creed Odyssey. But yeah, let's jump into the news. We've got a lot to go over. So Watch Dogs Legion showed there's like a bunch of stuff. A bunch of websites got like hands-on with the game in a more proper like demo fashion. They showed some more gameplay. They also talked about their post-launch content and what they're bringing in there. So one of the things I was wondering about was multiplayer, but multiplayer won't be there from the start. That'll be coming in later, as well as the invasion aspect, because the invasion part I always really liked of Watch Dogs. So I was hoping that would be there from the start, but it won't be. I was also curious, like, well, how would invasion work if the whole idea now is you're trying to recruit everybody? Like, at least in the other one, you know, in the other games, it's kind of like, okay, it made sense because you're typically just a small group. You know, in Watch Dogs 2, you're just that small group working together. And in the first game, it's just Hayden Pierce. But yeah, the post-content looks pretty good. They have some interesting, they're going to add some, like, raid multiplayer content. There's, like, a BattleBot multiplayer where you use, like, the spider bots and you can just, you know, BattleBot it out. But yeah, there's also going, they showed a little bit more about the Hayden Pierce DLC that'll be in there, which is cool. Also, Wrench from Watch Dogs 2, he was a side character in there. They didn't say if the main protagonist from Watch Dogs 2 would show up, but they were very cryptic about, like, you know, we'll see. So I'd imagine if Aiden's showing up, then we'll see. I'm blanking on his name right now. I keep wanting to say Marcus, but if he'll show up, I'm assuming he will. But, yeah, you can check that out there. Sony also revamped the trophy system this week, where they basically wanted to kind of give it much bigger range. So typically it was like a 0 to 100. Now it's a 0 to 1,000 scale. Hmm. And that update went live. So I think I jumped from like level, I don't know, like 50, 60 some maybe, to 365.
You were level like 24, sir. You were not level 60.
Whatever. I was just guessing.
There's a huge difference there.
I was guessing. I was trying to convert, you know,
you are 365 now. Zaya is 249.
I feel like I don't deserve that high of a number, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, I guess if you want to... I mean, so it's kind of like you just prestige the trophies. That's all you did.
Mm-hmm.
You raise the level cap bits. It's like, okay, now there's a little more. Because yeah, it is kind of annoying when you just get... I mean, I'm not a trophy hunter. Like, if I like a game and the trophies are... If the game is fun, I'll get the... Usually try to go for the platinum. But I don't necessarily care about the trophy level. But mm-hmm. I've definitely seen like people try to get from once you get up into like the 30s and 40s, it's like, oh, it's like where I beat a whole game and it hardly moves the percentage between, you know, the level I'm at to the next level. It's like, yeah, I guess if you change it up. It's like when they, it almost feels like that the level cap difference between in Final Fantasy XI when they lowered it for all the level 70 stuff and people got mad, like, the plateau wasn't as bad. It was a little easier mm-hmm. to get up. So now it's kind of more artificial, at least. But there's that. They also did a teardown of the PlayStation 5. They put up a video of it. Interesting teardown. They showed that it has these dust vacuum holes in it. These two of them. I'm really curious how well these dust catchers are going to work. But you know, not that my PS4 Pro necessarily ever gets that dusty. Like, it, even when it was in its cubby in my old TV stand, it was fine. It never really got all that dirty. I have no idea about the base PlayStation 4 I had, though. Because at least the Pro was much easier to just pop off the top part of the shell and, you know, vacuum the fan. But, yeah. it'd be nice to just pop off the panel of PS5 and just see, like, oh, let's see how much dust is actually in here. Yeah, that was interesting. You also got to see the expansion slot for the expandable storage, which coincidentally, Western Digital announced their Western Digital Black PCIe Gen 4 NVMe SSD, which they state will be PS5 compatible. I think it's got 7 gigs of throughput, just like Mark Cerny was talking about, how it will probably be available at the time the console launched back in March. Of course, it'll have to be tested by Sony, so don't just go out there buying it. The one benefit, I mean, it's the same, 1 terabyte basically costs, and it's actually slightly more. I think it's $229 for the 1 terabyte SSD from Western Digital, whereas the memory card version of it for the Xbox Series X is only $220. But that was to be expected because Gen 4 PCIe was going to be pricey. Like, we knew that. But they do offer, you know, a 500 gigabyte option, the 1 terabyte, and I think they also have a 2 terabyte option. But of course, again, don't go out there and just buy it. Wait till Sony confirms that the, you know, bandwidth of the SSD is compatible with the needs of the hardware. So there's that. We also had DLC announced for Mortal Kombat 11. They're finally adding in Melina, who was like people have wanted for 40 years, it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, give us Melina. Like, they even showed her like in a CD trailer at one point. Like, we want Melina. They also have Rain. And then Rambo showed up at the end of the trailer, just randomly. Which I guess is kind of on par because they have RoboCop and the Terminator and a bunch of these characters.
Yeah, like, they're not concerned about continuity at this point.
Yeah, it's interesting. And they also announced some next-gen upgrades. It's a pretty long list because there's so many different tiers of Mortal Kombat 11. Like, there's the base game, there's the Ultimate Edition, there's people who buy the base game and then get the season pass. So there's, like, there's a way to upgrade to the net from current gen to next gen. I think one variant of it, like, will cost you a bit if you only have, like, the base Mortal Kombat, or I'm not sure. There's a whole list. You can check it out. It's kind of a all over the place with the wording because that's the one thing I don't like is when they reference the full name. I feel like that's what caused a lot of the confusion about the Spider-Man situation is because people would always call it by its complete name instead of saying, like, just call, like, Miles and Spider-Man Remastered. But if you call it by the full name, it just causes so much confusion when you're jumping
mm-hmm.
around. We also got a release date for Bugsnax. It's going to be a launch title on PlayStation 5 and PlayStation 4, of course, and then PC. It'll be $25, according to the press release. There's also a voice cast trailer. I like that they had voice cast for the Bugsnax themselves. It's just really funny. Like, here's this person, and they're just making a, you know, Baldenberger, Baldenberger, Baldenberger. Like, they're just making a weird sound. It's like, all right. It'd be like if Pokemon, I guess, had a, you know, celebrity voice or just voice acting for each different Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of silly. Yeah, so it's nice to see that it's confirmed for launch. There's also, I think, some people had hands-on with it. I know Brittany Miller played it. Some other people played it. They kind of said it was kind of like, felt like a Pokemon Snap meets, you know, mystery solving kind of situation, because there's, like, obviously something going on in this island.
Mm-hmm.
But there's that. Also, Sony detailed their backwards compatibility list, saying that only 10 games will not be compatible, and, like, games like outside of Hitman Go, I don't know about the other 9. I'm like, I don't think I've ever heard of these. So it's like not, it's like Afro Samurai 2, Revenge of Kuma Volume 1, TT Isle of Man, Right on the Edge 2, Just Deal With It, Shadow Complex Remastered, Robinson the Journey. Actually, I do know Robinson the Journey. We Sing, Shadowen, and Joe's Diner. And then, like, DWVR, don't know what that is. But, yeah, just 10 games, so everything will be backwards compatible. They haven't said exactly which games will get use of the boost mode on PlayStation 5. We know that Ghost of Tsushima is going to get it, so you can play the game at 60 FPS with the boost mode. They confirmed that on Twitter. I don't think that game uses variable resolution. I think it's just kind of a fixed resolution to check warning, so it'll probably just stay the same, but you will get the 60 FPS. So that'll be good for when the multiplayer comes out, you know, next week, and then the raid content comes out later. Just play on the PlayStation 5, and then be good to go with 60 FPS. And then Marvel's Spider-Man Miles Morales went gold, so that's good to see. CD Projekt Red also announced that Cyberpunk went gold as well. So there's two games that went gold this week. And we also had the Final Fantasy XIV 5.4 update was announced for December. Well, had got detailed, and then I guess they had some backwards compatibility details. Mm-hmm. Do you know more about all what's going on there with the 5.4 and everything?
Not a super lot. I didn't watch the live letter. I just watched the synapse by Nova Chrysalis, or read their little synapse thing. There, from what it seems like, there wasn't a whole lot. It was just kind of like a teaser of what's going on with 5.4. And then they just announced that there was going to be a PS5 version. I didn't see any other details, though, so I don't know if they went into more detail and it just didn't get, like, transcribed and translated. But, I don't even think they gave an actual date for 5.4 yet. They just said early December, and then like the name and tease of screenshots of what's going to be in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like it'll just have obviously the new, a new main scenario quest that will start a new chapter of the story, new instance dungeon, which will be compatible with the trust system.
They're adding the last section of the Eden raids, I think, at 5.4.
Nice. Yeah, it says the new raid dungeon will bring back Eden with Eden's Promise and its Savage mm-hmm. version. You'll need to have completed the main story and update 5.3 to do this, though. So, gotta drop that up. New job adjustments will include both PvE and PvP tweaks. Details will be revealed in the next live letter. Those will be... Oh, I forgot there was... I always forget that there was Blue Mage.
It's... Because you can't do anything with it. So, but they're raising the level cap for it. So people are actually excited about that because now they can take it into more content with pre-made parties.
That's right. They limited it, right? When it first came out, it was like,
it was limited to like level 50 or 60. Yeah. Level 50, I think. And then you can't queue for anything in Duty Finder unless you're in a pre-made party. Or something like that. So you can't, like, because there's too, they said there's too much, like, opportunity, I guess, for people to go in with shitty skills and just be completely useless and annoy the party, basically.
Yeah.
You know, just sandbag the whole thing and make everybody drop out and re-queue. So they made it so that you can only go in with pre-made parties with, like, friends and stuff like that, so...
Yeah, and they did confirm, obviously, of course, with backwards compatibility, you can play the game on PlayStation 5. It will have the same settings as the PS4 Pro version. That's one thing to remember, is that if a game came out in the base PS4, when you play it on backwards compatible, the only benefit you'll get is the quick load times. But it'll run just as it did on the PlayStation 4 model. If it had a PS4 Pro version, then it'll run on that, because that's kind of the way Sony handled their backwards compatibility. It's just that it... Mm-hmm. restricts the hardware, essentially, just to be like, okay, here's the PS4 settings, here's the PS4 Pro settings, and that's how it does it. You just get the SSD boost, and then select games will get the full unlocked kind of boost. So I'm really hoping that, we hear from, Last of Us 2 that gets like a 60 or anything, or maybe give Uncharted 4 a 60. Obviously, that's built into. We talked about it last time. It's built into the engine for the multiplayer. It has 60, so it'd be nice to see it in the main game. But mm-hmm. we'll see what they do. And hopefully, that complete boost list will come out just before launch. Yeah, we also had news that the PlayStation Store will stop selling PSP, PSP, and Vita games through their website and mobile. So those will go away.
The PlayStation Store is going to stop selling them.
It just says that there's an email that went out that just said that,
Wow, that actually seems like kind of a huge deal. Like,
you'll only be able to do it from the direct system itself. So if they'll still be on the store. You just can't get them through the web version of the store or the app version of the store. So if you're on a PS3 and you go to the store, you can download it. Like, you have access to it. If you're on a Vita, you can do it as well. But you can't do it from, you know, a website. Because I think previously you used to be able, like back in the day at least, you could do download a Vita game onto the PS3, transfer it to a Vita. I think you could do the same thing on the store on the PC side, possibly, like download it and transfer it to the Vita. Maybe I never did that. But yeah, you have to actually go through the console that you're buying it from in order to do that. So it's not a big issue. It's not like they're going away, like that side of the store is being deleted or anything. It's just they're limiting the ways in which you can access that store. And then we saw that Outriders also got delayed to 2021 and now launch on February 2nd. I don't think it had an official launch before this. I think it was just like Q4 or holiday, maybe December. I just knew that I was looking forward to it coming out for PlayStation 5. Yeah, it was just holiday 2020 was the original thing. So I was like, oh, because I figured holiday meant, because a lot of other games said holiday, like Bugsnax, and that's a launch game, because obviously November's the holiday season as well. But yeah, unfortunately that got delayed to the 2nd of February, which I feel like could be a good time. You know, maybe get everybody's going to be playing a lot during launch probably anyways. Like maybe, I mean, they'll still obviously have the games and servers that they're playing, games that get updated to PS5 versions they'll be playing, all the launch stuff. So I guess maybe if you come out in February, that always feels like kind of a good time. But we'll see what else comes out in Q1 for next gen and current gen. And yeah, that's essentially it for the news. I'll try to go through and see if I had missed anything else. Basically covered the majority of it. I saw that Xbox got a couple more updates where people were allowed to play some more games on backwards compatibility. So there was that. They also were able to show some. It was interesting. So there's a good video from Digital Foundry that you can watch. It's probably going to be very true for PS5, where they essentially tried transferring games from the main SSD on the Xbox to the expandable storage, also to an external for, and playing games off an external for last-gen games. Obviously, because they have no current-gen stuff on the Xbox preview consoles that they have, which are essentially the retail versions that will be in stores. They're not completely functional and finalized, but they play games like they're supposed to. But yeah, they had put out a video where they plugged in, you know, an external regular hard drive, you know, disk drive. They had an SSD, like a Samsung, just normal SSD. And they had like an external NVMe drive that was in the encasing enclosure. And they were testing the, you know, read and write times of those drives. So transferring stuff to those drives obviously takes a while, because read speeds on those drives are not as fast as they are for, or writing is not as fast as reading. And then they showed that really, at least for the Xbox, having just a regular SSD, external SSD, has basically the same benefit as an external NVMe drive. Now, the difference, of course, there is that the Xbox USB ports are only the 5 gigabyte speed, where the PlayStation 5 has the 10 gigabit super speed, as they call it, SSD, or USBs. So you can get, obviously, much better read and write times, most likely, from drives that can handle it. So it's nice to see that, hey, if you just want, like, you don't want to buy an NVMe drive, and you just want to offload your next-gen games, then just get an SSD, you know, there's like a SATA to USB converter, and you just plug that in and just have it, that be your external drive, and its read and write speeds will be fast enough that, hey, because of the high-speed USB, you can just transfer games back onto your primary drive, and it's super quick. So hopefully that's a good sign for PS5, because, yeah, I don't think I'll be updating the internal drive, especially for PlayStation 5 games. I'll probably just get an external SSD or something, or maybe if I can find I'll just do a regular, like, you know, Western Digital external USB hard drive, just a couple terabytes, and be like, yeah, I'll just offload everything onto here.
Mm-hmm.
Just have to deal with those read and write speeds. Because I think that's probably, like, this gen I've just been deleting. Of course, granted, my old hard drive was a 2 terabyte, so I didn't have to delete a whole lot. But then when that died, I got the 1 terabyte. But then I only download the games I was playing. I didn't just keep everything on there. So I still have a lot of room. But I.
What's your current? How many terabytes is your current thing?
Just 1.
Oh. Wow, I'm actually surprised you've had to download and switch stuff so much.
I don't. I, like I said, on my 2 terabyte, which is what I originally put into my PS4 Pro when I got it, I basically never really had to do a lot. I think when Red Dead Redemption 2 came out, I did, because I had, of course, God of War on my hard drive still. I had Spider-Man, and then Red Dead, which was just like so much data, and I had a bunch of other stuff. I think I still had Death Stranding, Assassin's Creed, so I had like all these big games that were still on my hard drive. And so it's like, okay, I'll delete some stuff. And typically I had a bunch of PlayStation Plus games that I downloaded that are like, you know what? I'm never actually going to play this game. Or I had games downloaded that I just haven't touched in a long time. So like I hadn't played Battlefield 5 in a long time. I was like, okay, well, I'll just delete that. Or Bloodborne, which I still had on there. I was like, okay, I'll just get rid of that. But then when that drive died, I just got a 1 terabyte because that's all that was available, and I wanted to get it immediately. Start gaming again. But yeah, right now with my 1 terabyte, let's see, it's calculating the system. Of the 861 that's available out of the 1 terabyte, I have 200 gigs left. And the biggest games right now that are taking, I re-downloaded Modern Warfare, which is 104 gigs. I still have Assassin's Creed, that's 100. Tilo 2 is 78. Apex is 53. Death Stranding is 50. I only re-downloaded that so I could make that video. Ghost of Tsushima is 40. Last of Us Remastered, I re-downloaded, that's 40. Dying Light, which I could probably get rid of at this point, is 32. And then everything else from there is just smaller. But I'm only downloading basically the stuff that I'm actually playing, which is how it'll be on PlayStation 5. So the benefit of offloading, though, is that I won't hit my data cap, because I think there was like 1 month I looked at my Comcast bill and it was like, I went past my data cap, but it was like not enough to be charged extra, but it was like a pretty decent amount over. And I think that was when I swapped out my hard drive, because then I re-downloaded a bunch of games to get it on there. I was like, oh my God. So it's like, if I'm deleting a bunch of stuff, it's like, oh, hey, there's DLC or something come out randomly. I was like, oh, I want to go back and revisit the game. I don't want to have to, have a bunch of stuff, or especially like when it launches. And then I'm like, okay, well, I'll have to download all this stuff to my PlayStation 5. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's going to be a big, I'll have to take it slow. I'll just be like, okay, no, I'm just going to do Apex, and this game, and then Demon's Souls. Just take it slow.
I don't need all the things.
Yeah, I don't need all of them. Just a couple. Don't want to, go past my data cap.
Mm-hmm.
Like 4 terabytes. Hopefully we'll see, which hard drives are at least compatible. So people that do want to just get that and not worry about it, especially if the performance isn't. That's what I want to see the most. And I'm looking forward to those Digital Foundry videos, is when Sony tests internally, like, hey, this NVMe drive is good, this particular model, because it's got this throughput. And then Digital Foundry is going to test them, like, oh, put them side by side. Like, here's it running off the NVMe expandable drive and the main, hard SSD on the console. See, like, okay, you can notice maybe some pop in, or load times are just slightly different. When it transitions from cutscenes or going from one level to another. Like, I'll be really interested to see how that those tests turn out. And of course, NVMe drives will probably just get a little faster now that we're on Gen 4. This is obviously just the first batch. Yeah, that's it for the news. So I guess we'll jump over into what we've been playing. I know you're still playing Genshin Impact, Zaya.
Yeah, I'm obsessed. And I'm so annoyed that I'm obsessed with this game.
I was going to say, is that going to be like the new embarrassing game that you're playing for a while now?
It's less embarrassing because it's actually a very good game. So the only reason it's embarrassing is because I've spent a lot of time, and I'm considering spending a lot of money to get a particular anime boy. And that's obnoxious. But what do you expect?
So he's like... But you're going to be like the sugar mama. I got to pay for this. You're paying. He's like an escort. You're just paying for his company.
I got to get him. I need a fire character, and I refuse to use any fire character other than him. But he's like one of the rarer things that you can pull, because he's a 5-star, and I have never pulled a 5-star anything yet. annoying. But it's good. It's actually like a good game. So you should play it.
Yeah, I heard
It is. It's really good. It's got
Doing well.
Yeah, it's got like indie issues, you know. Sometimes like the voice acting isn't fantastic, and sometimes they say the wrong things, and you know, the voice lines get mixed up with the subtitles and things like that. It's just like little stuff, but like other than that, I've never had a problem with it. It's never like crashed or lagged significantly or bugged out in weird ways. It just works, and it's fun, and it's good, and it's free. So
is it actually free, or is it like if you want to really do something you still have to pay?
No, it's actually free. The only thing you would have to pay for is if you wanted to keep pulling for like the legendary and five-star characters and weapons and stuff like that. But you can earn currency in the game to do that. It's just, do you want to spend money to pull it sooner, or do you want to earn it as you're playing through the story and stuff like that? So,
and I guess, is it limiting in the sense of like, do you need to pay to actually enjoy the game at a normal pace, or is it like certain things they make it so that you pretty much have to pay because it's, you otherwise have to dedicate like 600 hours to getting it?
No, I haven't paid for a single thing yet, and I've earned enough of the little in-game currency to buy a couple upgrade items that I needed for to ascend characters once they reach the max level. And then I've paid for all of the pulls that I've done so far. All of like the, I don't know if you've ever played a gacha game before, but you can either pull one at a time or you can do pulls of 10 where you're guaranteed to get like a certain star item, stuff like that. I have only done 10 pulls for each thing, and I have 3 of the like special characters that are available right now. I have the one that's like the event character. I have her, but I've pulled like, I don't know, 5 or 6 times now, and then a few single pulls, and I haven't spent a single dime on the game yet. I haven't paid anything. It's just, you earn it just by playing through the game, and I haven't really reached a point where it becomes too grindy to continue. I'm usually only like a level or two behind what I need to continue the game, and you get that really easily just by doing side stuff like side quests or the daily things and stuff like that. So it's, I mean I'm only adventure rank like 20 right now, so I don't know how limiting it's going to be later on, but I haven't really seen anybody complain about it.
Yeah, like I was saying, Dan Tech at Game Informer gave it a 9.25, and he's the hardcore, you know, Souls player. Mm-hmm. And he's very much like, Dan Tech's like one of my favorite people at Game Informer, and he'll speak his mind when something's bad. And yeah, he's like, he loves this game. Like, he does say, you know, it's light on story, but it's big on exploration, encouraging mm-hmm. players to peek under every rock, and, you know, glide from every precipice. Like, he loves it, and he does not feel that the gacha stuff is in any way an issue, because he's just having so much fun playing the game without them.
Yeah, and like I said, there's ways to earn in-game. Right. It's not like a traditional mobile gacha game where it's like, yeah, you could earn the things that you can do in-game, but you're going to be playing this for the rest of your life to get one character, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You actually, it gives you characters as you progress a little in the story, but the more characters that you get, even if you get bored of grinding with the party that you have set up now, you can completely change up your party and completely change the way that you play and the way that you go about doing certain things. Like the party that I have set up now is that I don't have a fire character right now. So I go into places that are like, oh, it's recommended that you have a fire character in your party. I'm like, nah, I don't need that. And I have to go in and do it like a different way. You have to deal with things in a different way. Like shield characters, I don't have a character that could break their shield, so I have to do it a different way, and I have to use my characters a different way. So it's like, even if you start to get bored of the grind eventually, you can just change up your party, and now you're thinking in a totally different way to progress through the game.
Yeah, so here's a quote from Dan Tech's review. Yes, Genshin Impact features pay for power and pay for convenience. Genshin Impact has a battle pass that doesn't appear until around 20 hours into the game. The gambling for characters and weapons is further exacerbated by Genshin Impact's deliberate methods, like having the all-star heroes join your group for certain quests, which allows you to experience their awesome powers, thus creating a desire to spin the wheels for a shot at that power. Mm-hmm. This monetization model that I cannot endorse or advocate, but I also have not spent any real money in my 40 plus hours with this game. I do not feel like my progress has been throttled or my enjoyment dampened because I haven't paid up. I have played many gacha games, and while Genshin Impact's paywall is the least intrusive of all of them, I can't pretend that the game wouldn't be better without it. So yeah, you definitely can play it without there. Like, there is some stuff there. It's like, oh yeah, they'll try to hook you. But even if you don't do it, like, you can still have a ton of fun with this game. So it's a...
Yeah, and that's like, that's the thing. They have, whenever they do event characters, you have the chance to try the character. So it gives you... you go into like a battlefield and you test the character out and everything like that. So you can determine if it's worth pulling it rather than spending your currency or even spending money to get these characters. And it turns out you don't even like how they play and you're not going to use them unless you're like, you know, just collecting all the characters. But there are instances like as you're progressing through the story, they'll give you the opportunity to play as the character as like a guest member of your party. But they don't limit you to that character. So if you're playing through this dungeon or whatever and you don't like that character, you just switch to your normal party and play through like that. And it's not really a big deal. But, yeah, you know, it plays into that. That's the reason that I want D-Luke so much now, because I played as him and he's a badass and he's amazing. So I want him.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I really like the... I've been a big fan of the Battle Pass model that Fortnite... Sure, there could have been someone that introduced it before Fortnite, but Fortnite was like the one who really got Battle Passes moving. It's really because they refined how it worked. But I've always liked that Battle Pass system for free-to-play games because, I mean, even like in Fortnite, it's like, yeah, it's free-to-play, but it's like after so many hours, like I wouldn't mind supporting, you know, buy a skin here, especially in Apex. Like Apex, I always buy the Battle Pass.
Yeah.
They're always good value. So it's like I can see, like, you know, sure, it's got the Scotcha stuff, but if it's a free-to-play game that you enjoy and you're getting, you know, 50, 60 hours out of it, and there's going to be more chapters of content coming to it eventually. It's like, I don't like the idea of like hoping that there's these whales that are playing this game
mm-hmm.
that are going to keep it afloat. It's like, I wouldn't mind throwing a little bit after I've played a free-to-play game for a long time. Be like, you know what, I'd really like some. Yeah. Here's a couple bucks because I want to see more of this game.
Yeah, and that's the only reason. This is honestly the first like free-to-play game I've ever seriously considered spending money on immediately, because I'm already playing, I've already played, you know, $40 worth of content. You know, I bought a game for $20 on the PlayStation that I beat in 5 hours, you know, that I had just as much fun with. And the thing about Genshin is you have so many options with the way that you can base. So you don't have to pay just to pull like characters and weapons and stuff like that, play the gacha. You can pay to get bundles of other currency that you use in the other shops to buy like ascension things, or, you know, to buy, you can even buy money in the game with the extra currency and stuff like that. And then there's just like, there's so many options. You're not limited to like, oh, well, I want this character, but the only way to get it is if, you know, I pay or if I grind it out and stuff like that. I can't pay to get other things. Like, I imagine in the future, people are going to have all the characters that they want and they're going to stick with. And the hard part is going to be getting the materials to level them up and ascend them to, you know, get higher levels and get more skills and stuff like that. But you can buy those items in the shops too. So you would still say, okay, well, I don't want to grind out for this last ascension item. I'm just going to, you know, pay $5 for this currency bundle and go buy it in the little shop.
Yeah, you'd be curious to see the lifespan of this game and how quickly they can churn out new content.
The first update is supposed to be next month sometime, I think. They're adding, it's like the 1.1 update they're going to be adding. I haven't looked too much into it because I obviously haven't finished like the main thing right now, so I don't want spoilers. But they're going to be adding to it already.
It's funny that it's on iOS and Android as well. It's like, oh, PC, PS4. Oh, iOS and Android. Like,
yeah.
I'm really curious about that performance on mobile.
I heard it's okay. People recommend that if you don't have a PC to play, but you do have a console, play it on console instead. But people saying it plays okay or acceptable on mobile. It depends on your device. So I was going to, when I get my controller, I'm going to try to play it on my tablet, which I'm concerned about because then my life is over at work. Nothing is ever going to get done if I could play this game on my tablet at work.
Yeah, I know it has cross-platform drop-in, drop-out co-op gameplay. Mm-hmm. But does it have, is your like progression saved in some sort of online account where if you were to play on, right now you're on PC, but if you were to play on PS4, would your progression go over?
The progression, your account doesn't go from PC to PS4. So if I was to play on PS4, okay. I'd have to make a new account. The only cross account right now is the PC and mobile version. So, but you can play with people on any platform is their main thing. I guess it's just, it has to do with the linking with the PlayStation account and stuff like that. But yeah, if I was to play on PlayStation, I would have to have a separate account and start over. Which at this point I'm fucking fine with it. I just play the way I'm playing now. I might even play with a different party just to switch it up. But yeah, it's fun. It's actually, I'm shocked at how good it is. I went on the Reddit briefly, the subreddit, and people were posting screenshots of it compared to like the Pokemon games. And I know it's like trendy to shit on the new Pokemon games, but when you see them side by side, it's a big fucking yikes. Like, and I know Pokemon's not really meant to be like, you know, this graphic intensive thing. It's not about like the exploring the world and stuff like that. It's about the battles and stuff as compared to Breath of the Wild. But even comparing it to Breath of the Wild, it's like, it's very similar. So it's so good. It's so good.
I like the, Sharon Dan talked about it on the Game Informer show, and he was talking about how the elemental abilities aren't just for combat, how you can do them for open world puzzle solving.
Yep.
I thought like, oh, that's really cool. Like using the wind to blow seeds off a dandelion. Mm-hmm. To do, you know, some stuff like that, or you know, use freeze mode stuff. I like that idea of creativity. Have you done much co-op in that game?
I haven't done any co-op yet, so I'm not 100% sure how it works. It's not like a drop-in, like somebody could drop into your world and play with you. They kind of like, it kind of turns, rather than you having control of four different characters, if you play with another person that's just the two of you, you would each have control of two characters, but you can choose which characters you have control of, which I think is awesome. It's like an awesome idea, then, because then you can kind of coordinate with each other, and then you're only worried about how your two characters synergize and how they synergize with the other player and stuff like that. But you can't do, from what I understood, you can't do story stuff together, and it's kind of limited on what you can actually do in the world, and what it's more like co-oping for dungeon crawls and towers and stuff like that. It's not really co-oping to play the story together,
right?
Which they might even change at some point if they get the support to like robust their co-op system. They might even make it like a full ass MMO type of game. I mean, look what Hello Games did with No Man's Sky eventually. So
all right, so that makes sense. Yeah, I was wondering if like it'd just be your party and then they come in with their party, but they're just controlling the characters that are in your party. That's much more like a Divinity.
Yeah, it plays more like that, where, and then if you could play with up to four people, so each person would control their own character, which I actually really want to try, but I'm not really at the point in the game where content would really benefit from that. I want to get to the point where doing some kind of like big raid or big world boss or something like that, and then having a party of four people, each with, you know, unique characters and elements and stuff like that, and being able to coordinate all the time, because rather than switching to a character, getting their buff, and then switching back, because right now the way I have it set up, I can switch between any two characters depending on what kind of effect I want, like their elemental combination. But just being able to like have my character and then coordinate with somebody else and have that effect all the time, like just thinking about freeze stun locking a boss, and that's hilarious to me, so I can't wait to get to that point and try it.
All right. What are you playing, Ism?
I finished Subnautica, which I greatly enjoyed that game, and it just had a great mood, and it was very unique. I think I talked to you about it, but it was, I can't remember many other games that had a water focus as heavily as Subnautica, or like on exploration, and you pointed out Wind Waker, and I was like, oh yeah, but that was like one of my other favorite games. So finished that, and then other than Subnautica, I haven't really played anything yet. I'm kind of in the post-game lull right now, where I don't know what to play or what to do, so we're working on it.
I have a suggestion.
Is it Genshin Impact?
It is Genshin Impact.
Is that your suggestion?
That is my suggestion, but I'm warning you right now. If you pull D-Luke before me, we can't be friends anymore.
Can I just give it to you if I get it?
No.
Is that a thing? Like,
that would be great, because I have a lot of people on my Discord that are playing it right now, because I'd be messaging everybody like, hey, you got an extra D-Luke you can send me?
Yeah, just Discord. Trade characters.
Huh?
Do you have a Discord that we're not invited to?
No, all my friends list. I have like four people right now playing playing people with Genshin Impact.
Think about it. It's a strong maybe.
It's free, so you can at least try it. And
but how are the trophies?
I don't know, because I play on PC.
Exactly.
Just go to the trophy, you know, PS4trophies.org.
There you go.
Sure, yeah. They'll give you an answer. Is this held back by the trophies in games? You can't play something if the trophies are too difficult.
Well, the good news is you could play it on your computer instead, so.
All right, Izzy's got to jump off real quick, because I guess he has something he's got to do. So, Izzy, we will see you later.
Later.
Bye.
Yeah, I was playing Subnautica alongside Izzy when he was playing it. That was a lot of fun going back then. I was playing on hardcore, so like, once you die, your save's deleted. Mm. But then, like, I was right up in the end game, and I had to go back for my submarine, because you need to, like, craft something on it that you can only craft on its crafting console. And I had to make something. I'm like, all right, I'll go back and get my sub. Right when I got to my sub, the game blue screened on me. And I was like, oh man. And I was like, I'm not, because they just had an update recently. And I'm like, I did so much. I'm like, I'm not. I was at the end of the game anyways. I had all the materials. I was going to leave the game. I was like, I'll just call it a win. There's no trophy associated with being on hardcore or to get the platinum. So, I'm good.
I did it. That's all that needs to be known.
That's right. Yeah. Maybe I would have got killed by a Leviathan on my way up with the sub, but I doubt it. But yeah, other than that, it was like, I play a little bit of Apex, Civ 6 still, playing a lot of that. I just love starting new matches. Although it's like, for some reason recently I've been playing, every time I play a new game, like the game spawns me next to Volcano, I'm just like, please no. Just stop. So I have to like restart, and I get a good spot. I'm like, oh, this is great. And then I found my city, and I move my warrior, and there's like another volcano next to the luxuries. I'm like, stop it with the volcanoes, man. I hate them. But and then I haven't picked up Crash 4 yet, because I'm probably just gonna wait, play that on the PS5, I guess. I don't know. But I'm in like no rush to play it right now.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to play it, but I'm just not doing it right. But I was like, you know what? I started like replaying some Crash 1 on the Insane Trilogy like a week ago, and I was having some difficulty on level, like, oh man, the timing of these jumps is so obnoxious, which of course it was the original game as well. I was having issues with it, but I was like, you know, I'm just gonna hop over into Crash 2, play some of that. So I played a couple of Crash 2 levels last night. I forgot about the slide jump mechanic, and I was totally stuck on this one. I'm like, how am I supposed to get 100% of the boxes? I can hardly reach this ledge, and it was like so obnoxious. And then I look online, and I was like, I'm just gonna look up, you know, get all boxes trophy or gem.
Mm-hmm.
And I find it, and it's like the guy starts doing slide jumps. I'm like, oh, the slide jumps, that's right. And then I know that they have the time trials, and there's the onks that are associated with them, but I don't think those have any impact on the story, right? Because I know you get the crystals for Neocortex, and obviously it's bad, he's lying to you. But then if you get the gems for the other guy, that's like the bonus good ending. But I don't think you'd get all the onks for the time trials. That matters for anything.
It didn't used to. It was just for completion, I think.
Yeah, just for trophies. And there was, because I watched one, I was like, the onks. I was like, oh, it's probably the guy did one of the time trials. And I was like, does this matter? I just couldn't seem to find anything. Like, yeah, it was fun playing that for a little bit. And then, because I don't remember if I ever finished 3 back in the day, but I'll probably definitely want to finish, because I know apparently Crash 4 picks up after the end of that one. I was like, I guess I'll have to finish that game. But then, yeah, other than that, not much else. Just, you know, waiting for all the big stuff to come out.
Mm-hmm.
So we only got a couple more weeks. We started the 11th.
God, yeah, there's so much crap coming out, and I have a game that I bought and I haven't played because I'm playing Genshin. Crap.
We have 5 weeks until the consoles come out. Hopefully that means that we'll see some more, information.
Mm-hmm.
We got the teardown, that's great. We got the backwards compatibility confirmed, that's great. And I want to know more about boost mode. Like, I'm just going to have to wait for developers to tweet out, hey, we got boost mode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was thinking about load times. So I was like, yeah, well, God of War won't benefit from the SSD because there's no load screens in that game. And anytime it does, quote unquote, go to black, it's because of a story thing. Like, you're inside, you know, the serpent, or you're in the hands of a giant who's moving you across the map.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's where the invisible load is, but it's like there's no actual loading stuff going on. It's not like the giant's gonna move you faster and get you over to where you need to go.
Yeah.
Or it'll be the Bifrost goes much faster. It's like just 4 times Bifrost speed for all effects.
Oh, yeah. You only get, they say like 3 things and then the door opens, so now you have to wait there and wait for the conversation to end.
Yeah. But, yeah, all right. Well, that'll wrap it up for this episode. So thank you for tuning in. Thank you, Zach.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, thanks to Italy. Hop out. Yeah, we will see you all next time.